Sup, freaks. This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an AirGAT fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q. It was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC-free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
What's up, freaks? This rip was brought to you by our good friends at Obscura. Obscura is the first VPN that can't log your activity by design. Instead of empty promises, Obscura fully embraces the Bitcoin or don't trust, verify mantra. They can't log your traffic, even if they tried. Obscura believes that user data is toxic waste. In addition to private payments via Lightning, you can sign up with an account without having to give any personal identifying information. It's a beautiful thing. It's the VPN I use every day. It's incredibly fast. You can go on streaming sites with it. They don't say, hey, you've got a VPN. It just works. Go to obscura.net. Use the code RHR25 for 25% off an annual subscription. This is an incredible deal. Obscura.net, RHR25 for 25% off an annual subscription.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Call your neighbors, call your friends, tell them to switch over. From Squawk Box, Rabbit Hole Recap is here to compete at the 6:30.
Sorry, AM. Becky.
Becky, quick, we're coming for that ass, girl.
What did I tell her? Oh, if she donates to OpenSats, we'll stop competing with her.
Yes.
I just realized, by the way, Marty, that I forgot to tell the freaks when we were going live. That's on me. Hand up.
Ninja lunging on them. Hand up. We're gold podcast now. The price of gold is $4,114 pound drill price. It's crazy.
Are we gonna read it? Are we gonna read it every episode now? What is it in Bitcoin terms?
In Bitcoin terms? Oh, I just had this chart up.
Like, jokes aside, I think that's actually probably one of the most important metrics is Bitcoin price and gold. Because we haven't hit an all-time yet. We're not in a bull market until we pass the all-time high gold price.
We bounced off a low, currently sitting at 26.59. ounces of gold per Bitcoin.
I mean,
fell as low as 25.53.
It's pretty crazy. You can get 26 ounces of gold for Bitcoin.
Yeah. It's a lot of gold.
Like, imagine being bearish on that. I mean, you can't even, can you even fit that much in your, in pockets? Like, how big is that?
I don't know. This is 8 grams. How many grams in an ounce?
How many grams in an ounce? 16? No, 16 ounces in a pound. I was doing weed math.
How many grams?
I have no idea. How many? Ask Maple.
I think it's like 30 something.
How many grams in an ounce?
28.34.
So what does that mean?
This is like almost a quarter of an ounce or a little over a quarter of an ounce. So four of these times 24.
So 100 of those.
I don't think you
100 could of those rings?
I don't think you can fit in your pocket.
It's 100 of those rings.
Yeah.
Imagine being bearish on that. That's pretty crazy. Can you hold up the ring for scale again? Bitcoin's currently 100 of these. Nice. 100 of these.
Yeah.
pretty nice.
That's pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that.
But unfortunately for us, Bitcoin was created by the CIA. Our good friend Tucker Carlson.
I love how after Tucker said that, he was literally like, by the way, I was created by the CIA. I mean, that's kind of what he said. He was like, my dad was the CIA, and you know, his dad was half his gene pool. So
yeah,
he got literally at least half created by the CIA.
I think he was trolling somebody earlier. I saw some clips from that event beyond the gold clip. He got triggered when somebody referenced the fact that his dad was in the CIA and alluded to Tucker being deep state.
Well, Tucker's done. Like, there's a bit of a love hate relationship there with me and Tucker. Because he's done a lot of good shit, but also
I'm overwhelmed. It was like about Tucker, but we do have our qualms.
Well, I disagree. I'm definitely not overwhelmingly positive, but, 3 months, I mean, what, 3 months ago, he was like, yeah, I like just found out that my dad was in the CIA. It's like, he's been on the records saying his dad was in the CIA way before that.
Yeah.
I think it was this Candace Owens interview. He said that.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course he's just constantly shilling Telegram and FUDing Signal. Which his brother Elon was also doing this week, even though his encrypted chat app is not open source and encrypted, quote unquote, encrypted by a 4-digit PIN that most people are probably doing like 1111 4.
Well, like, let's start with the gold Tucker CIA Bitcoin thing. Cause I mean, I think it is important FUD to break, cause it's not the only person of prominence, relative prominence, that is out there saying this is the fact that the NSA or the CIA created Bitcoin. Catherine Austin Fitz, who's big in World Economic Forum, Great Reset circles, conspiracy circles, for lack of a better term. There are many others that I've run into that have said it's the CIA behind the scenes and or the NSA. And it's like,
okay. I mean, we've been hearing this for decades. Well, not decades, but since Bitcoin began.
Yes. And
I remember it's one of the first pieces of quote unquote FUD that I heard when I was investigating Bitcoin, 12 years ago?
Yes. And Parker and I actually earlier this year, when Tucker started running with this line publicly, had a conversation. We actually recorded a podcast about it. It's like, okay, let's run with the assumption that the CIA, the NSA, the deep state, whoever actually did
the Jews
create Bitcoin. Like, let's assume that they did. Could you still have confidence that Bitcoin is what it is? And you can.
Yeah.
And I tweeted this out last night. Even if the CIA did create Bitcoin, anyone who is so driven and or capable can audit the code to determine whether it does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, the whole point is we don't have to trust the creator, right? First of all. And then second of all, I mean, I think even a more interesting conclusion is, so then you say like, oh, okay, you don't have to trust the creator, but maybe the creator, it's alleged or believed that the creator has maybe a million coin that's just sitting there, right? That could be dumped on the market. I mean, I would go to argue that probably historically and continues to be the biggest threat to Bitcoin is the American deep state and affiliated entities. So like, if they have a direct incentive to see Bitcoin win, that's bullish as fuck. It's like the most bullish conspiracy theory ever.
Yes.
And it's like, it's a ridiculous reason not to own Bitcoin. It's like, oh yeah, well, like the people in charge created it and have a massive incentive to see it succeed. So that's why I don't own it. It's just retarded.
Well, Tucker, during that clip at the TP USA event, he was saying, well, they're using it to funnel us into this digital panopticon CBDC world. And that's the weird, this is where this argument really loses teeth, because they equate Bitcoin to a hyper-controllable CBDC surveillance coin. And I think that's, they basically use the transparent ledger and the chain heuristics that can be used to follow UTXOs to determine, try to determine, to guess who owns what Bitcoin, and then really latch onto that and say, this is how the government's going to control you. They're going to be able to see everything you do. And as we know, we've been discussing for years, yes, this is almost, this is a half truth. Yes, this is the case. If you use Bitcoin flippantly and unintentionally, not unintentionally, but without the intention of using it privately by using the tools that exist, whether it's CoinJoin, PayJoin, which is a form of CoinJoin, basically using new addresses, using Bitcoin in a way that preserves your privacy, it is easier for people to try to figure out which addresses you own, how much Bitcoin you have. But just because it is possible doesn't mean that the government's going to know exactly who has what, where, when.
Well, I think there's a better argument that USD tokens, that people call them stable coins, are quasi CBDCs or private bank digital currencies, PBDCs, if you will. And I think there's a tendency by people, including Tucker, to conflate, you know, broader crypto with Bitcoin. And it's probably more like that. Like, I don't think Tucker's gone deep on the probability analysis surveillance tools that are used on Bitcoin and the different tools that people can use Bitcoin with to use it as freedom money. It's probably more of a, and, you know, there's, he's directionally correct on that, right? Like, USD tokens that are operating on blockchains provide the state and affiliated corporate entities a ton of control over people's lives. And it is something that we should push back against. I think the creator, regardless of who you think the creator is kind of irrelevant to that. I see Soap Miner, our favorite soap maker, zapped us 21,000 sats in the Primal Live chat. He said, good morning, freaks. Soap Miner accepts CIA PSYOP sats. And that's a perfect example, right? He zapped us 21,000 sats, which is about $21, through Lightning. And I have no idea. We have no idea what UTXO funded that transaction. We have no idea how much money he has. We have no idea his transaction history. That's incredibly powerful. Yeah. No other protocol allows for that.
No, go buy some soap. He only accepts CIA PSYOP sats.
He only accepts sats, period. Did you see his new ad that his wife did?
I thought that was AI.
No, that's his wife.
Is that really?
Logan, go to primal.net/Odell. It's one of my recent retweets. Let's play the clip.
Oh, this is not the one I...
Are you seriously still using chemical-filled commercial soap? Let's change that now. Soap Miner's soap lets you ditch chemical-laden brands and choose a smarter, value-driven clean. While mainstream brands poison their products with synthetic detergents, parabens, and unpronounceable chemicals, Soap Miner brings you pure tallow soap your ancestors trusted. The base layer of our soap is just three ingredients: grass-fed beef tallow, lye, water. That's it. The scents come from pure essential oils and the color from natural clays. Everything natural and pure. These bars cleanse without stripping your skin, moisturizing naturally while commercial soaps leave you dry and irritated. We handcraft every bar using time-tested methods, zero synthetic garbage, zero toxic chemicals, zero mystery ingredients seeping into your body. One bar will last a month while commercial soap dissolves after days because real ingredients have staying power. We demand Bitcoin because we recognize true value just like you do. Stack quality soap like you stack sats. Get Soap Miner's tallow soap today. We only accept Bitcoin.
Soapminer.com.
It's a beautiful thing. I used this morning to shave my face.
That's the way.
I haven't showered yet. I will shower after this and use the soap to
wash myself. I already showered today. I traveled with the bar of Soapminer. We have Mab21, Zap21,000 Sats. He says, good morning. Great soap.
I'm sending a tweet out right now.
Why?
To let people know that we're on air. You know, people are waking up, and to let Squawk Box know that we're competing with them.
Well, it's live. It's live on X, right? Did you tag? Did you tag Joe?
I did. I did. He's live on Squawk Box right now, checking his notifications, shivering in fear that he has a new competitor at this hour. But let's continue the thread, Tucker. Bitcoin is a CIA creation. No, seriously though, this Elon's Elon's been on a complete.
I threw us on a ridiculous tangent. I apologize, freaks and Marty. Continue.
He's been on a complete propaganda tear with this X private chat. It is a bit disgusting. I think earlier this week when AWS went down, AWS East proved that centralized third parties are security holes. Number one. Was affected by this. Many other services were affected by this. I was recording a podcast on Riverside Monday afternoon and had to stop and reschedule it for yesterday because Riverside
AWS went down
on AWS. We could not even record during it. That was actually an illuminating moment of how dependent a lot of systems are on AWS. Signal being one of them. Elon and many others on X took the opportunity to sort of throw shade towards Signal specifically.
I mean, it was more than shade. It was pretty aggressive posting.
Yes. Can we trust X chat?
Well, first of all, Primal didn't go down and Strike didn't go down. Which I was pretty proud of, both centralized, and but pretty impressive. Obviously, Bitcoin didn't go down and Nostr didn't go down, which are decentralized by design. I think a lot of people threw some shade that, like, I think it was 30% of Lightning nodes run on AWS. The thing we should be proud of, freaks, is that 70% of Lightning nodes do not run on AWS. Flip the script, flip the narrative. I do think that Elon deserves a lot of credit. That he self-hosts all of his stack, right? Like he's just got like gigantic server farms that hosts all his shit, including X. So it's pretty cool that when half the internet goes down, X doesn't go down, right? I think that's an important service for the world that you're still able to communicate through X. All that said, look, the way Signal's designed is that you're not trusting the server provider. And this means that Signal's able to operate without hosting their own servers. And they can use a variety of large server operators, you know, AWS being the big one, but you also have Microsoft with Azure. And to a lesser extent, you have Hetzner in Germany. Now, they clearly did not handle their like failover, right? Like they should be hosting on multiple of them. But I think the important thing to realize here is what happened was a denial of service, right? You didn't have access to Signal, which sucks. You know, a majority of my life runs through Signal in terms of projects that I operate on and on family stuff. And I just wasn't able to send messages, make calls, stuff like that for 3 hours, which is, you know, pretty lame. But it doesn't actually affect the security and privacy of the Signal protocol. The whole design is that both message content and metadata does not leak to the server operator. That's how it's built. That's how these things should be built if privacy and security is important. Then second piece is, I think it's great to see a encrypted version of DMs on X. This is something that has been desired for a long time. What most people don't realize is part of the reason Signal even exists is because first it was text secure, and Jack, when he was running Twitter, acquired it and acquired the team, including Moxie, and wanted to add encrypted DMs and never added encrypted DMs. Who knows why? Maybe it was technical reasons, maybe it was political pressure, but he never added encrypted DMs. And he then spun it out as an open source project. Even though Twitter owned the intellectual property that became Signal, they spun it out for a common good
And then we ended up having the Signal Foundation and ended up having this nonprofit Good for the World, which is pretty fucking cool. Like, I think Dorsey actually does not get enough credit for the success that Signal has become. Because if you follow just direct economic incentives, there is no good reason for him to release Moxie and the code out to the public after he failed to implement it. But anyway, all that said, Elon deserves credit for finally adding encrypted DMs into X. It's strictly better than regular DMs. Regular DMs, like Elon and all the employees, a lot of employees at X can just read them on demand and your full history of all your DMs. I think people don't really appreciate how crazily dystopian that is. And so X Chat, their encrypted alternative to DMs, is strictly better than that. But at the end of the day, it's a first of all, not open source, so we can't verify any claims. I think at a bare minimum, it should be source viewable. So like maybe you can't fork it and monetize it, but at least be able to verify what's running. That's key. And then second of all, it operates on a 4-digit PIN, which even if you pick a quote unquote secure 4-digit PIN, it's trivial to brute force. Once again, as we said, Elon is running all his own servers, including huge AI data farms. So like he can brute force that shit probably in a matter of less than a day, you know, to get access to your messages. And people don't pick secure pins. Maybe it's their birthday that they've already told X when their birthday is. Maybe it's, you know, 1212, but they don't pick secure pins.
Last four of their phone number.
Yeah. And I will say that this is a hard problem to solve. Which is why it's like trade-offs all the way down. No solutions, only trade-offs. But I think Signal makes the best trade-off balance in how they handle it, which is if you reinitialize Signal on a different device, you just lose all your messages. You can't get access to those messages. And this is also where people say the phone number dependency on Signal is questionable. Well, they're trying to make a reasonably secure, user-friendly messenger, which is very difficult to do. And that's part of the reason why they use the phone number requirement. Even though the phone number isn't doxed to people you contact, it's used as spam mitigation and user authentication. So it's nuanced, right? But for Elon to go out there and be like, Signal's insecure because AWS is down, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's a smart guy. He's incredibly intelligent. He's one of the best executors on the planet. Dude builds multi-billion dollar businesses like it's lunch. And he knows exactly what he's doing. I think that's a red flag. I think that's a red flag, and it's disappointing to see. Just as it was disappointing to see Tucker FUD Signal for an inferior solution in Telegram, because I know Tucker knows what he's doing, and I know Elon knows what he's doing here. So it's a little bit more of the same on that front. But anyway, those are my thoughts.
A masterclass in newsjacking is what Elon displayed on Monday when AWS went down. But to your point, I don't think anybody should run with the assumption that XChat is end-to-end encrypted until there is at least source viewable code.
No, it's better than DMs though. Like, you can treat it as better than DMs. I wouldn't treat it as secure comms. Or the other piece, by the way, is it's absolutely ridiculous that Amazon going down like stops your communication method. I'm not bailing out Signal here. Like, they should make that shit more resilient. And I'm hoping, first of all, there's a bunch of alternatives that are more resilient, including SimpleX, which has some reliability issues, which stops me from using it as my daily driver right now. But you can pick your own server and you can host your own server, which makes it more resilient. Keet, which is not open source, which is an issue. And I'm hoping they open source it soon, but it's cool because it doesn't require any servers whatsoever. It's purely P2P. The problem there is it doxes your IP address. So people should just be aware. You can use it with a VPN if you don't want to dox your IP address, but I'd like to see them be open source. And then finally, White Noise, which is trying to build Signal on top of Nostr, which uses the global relay network, which once again, the Nostr relay network is kind of similar to Lightning Nodes, right? Like, I think people can FUD the Nostra Relay Network and say 30% are run on AWS. But I think the cool part is 70% aren't, right? And there's a bunch of Nostra Relays that aren't run on AWS. And if you're running a smaller Nostra Relay, you can self-host it relatively easily. So I think we have better solutions available to us. In a situation where we don't have Amazon and NSA and stuff trying to stop Signal, Signal works. But it was never designed in the threat model of denial of service from major corporations combined with the US government. Like, the US government wants to stop Signal messages from happening. They can't necessarily read them, but they can stop those messages from happening. And we need to have better solutions available to people, I think.
Agreed. Funny to note, this was AWS East is the block of servers that went down. And it seems like many systems are highly dependent on this. The CEO of the AWS, or the leader of the AWS unit within Amazon, came out only a couple of weeks ago and announced that 90% of the code for AWS was being generated by artificial intelligence. So it seems like the LLMs may not be as foolproof as many Mag 7 tech execs would like us to believe. Who knows if this was the exact cause of it. I just thought it was pretty funny that he came out and announced this and had one of the biggest outages that they've had in recent years. Only weekend.
Yeah, it's a weird flex. I don't really understand that flex. Coinbase did something similar. Brian Armstrong came out with that kind of flex. I don't think it's really something you should be proud of if you're hosting mission critical infrastructure. But hopefully we see Amazon give us a real debrief of what happened here. But I would say to actual operators, like, if you're running a service, like, you should have failover situations. It's one thing if you're hosting on big tech servers, but you should be able to gracefully fall over to servers hosted by someone else, or at least, you know, somewhere else in the AWS ecosystem, like, not yeah. US East, if US East fails.
I don't think there's been an official postmortem on it, but there were many people on X saying that AWS suffered a massive outage, apparently caused by DynamoDB experiencing a DNS resolution failure and causing a total failure cascade in US East 1. So it looks like a database dependency and a DNS resolution failure. So,
yeah, I will say Primal, for instance, does not use AWS, period. But we're not self-hosting yet, so we'll start self-hosting pretty soon. But then also the beautiful thing is that you can run your own caching server. You can run your own Primal backend if you want and be independent and easily switch between it and the UI. I see Mark C, Zaptus 21,000 Sats. He said, just got the baby down for his morning nap and CRHR morning rip. What a great start to the day. Shout out to Paul Lax.
It's good DP.
Is that Lax. The hat you're wearing?
No, this is PubKey, but I am.
He just knows your lore.
I am a DePaul alumni, and I was the head coach of DePaul's men's lacrosse team, our club team, my sophomore through senior year, and we went to the nationals my senior year. We won our conference, went to nationals. I was the head coach. I'd suffered my sixth concussion my freshman year. Hung up the cleats, hung up the stick, put on the whistle, and led the men to glory. We went from 2-10 to, I believe we went 10-3 our senior year, went to nationals, won our conference. It was a beautiful thing. Shout out to you, Mark C, for knowing that DPU lacks lore.
I'm proud of you, Marty.
But this isn't a lacrosse podcast. It's a Bitcoin podcast. Did you see what was happening at the Federal Reserve this week?
It's a gold podcast. What? No, probably not.
There was like a teach-in with many people from the crypto industry. Basically, a day-long event. I think I watched like 2 hours of it. It was actually pretty interesting. The fact that the Federal Reserve was open to
industry, quote unquote, industry leaders. There was no Bitcoin people there outside, maybe the CEO of Fireblocks, who took some time to explain multi-sig and how you can. He focused on Bitcoin specifically for a good amount of time, which I was happy about, but it was mostly a crypto event. How can we integrate stable coins and real world asset tokens into the banking system? It was interesting.
Exciting.
Fed Reserve Governor Waller was there, and he was saying that, hey, we need to implement this stuff. But the reason I bring it up is because stable coins, real world assets, this is all that crypto and Wall Street is focused on right now. And I think it's a red herring, a siren call that people should be aware of. They're going to try and tokenize all the things and dump shitty commercial real estate exposure onto retail. So beware.
Look, I mean, I think, yeah, first of all, investment real estate's a shitcoin. It's one thing if you want to own your own house. You can't live in a Bitcoin. And I think it gives families a lot of flexibility and relative freedom if they own their own house. So I respect that. But to actually own real estate as an investment is just... it's just a horrible investment compared to Bitcoin. You're way better off holding Bitcoin. And I think history has shown that. I think the future will continue to show that. I think it'll be very obvious to people after the fact. Real world assets, it's been a broken record about this for 7 years now on the show, and longer in person. But real world assets require some trusted third party to actually enforce that contract and hold the real world asset for you. There's no way to cryptographically, natively, digitally connect your token with something in the real world, whether that's gold, whether that's dollars, whether that's real estate, whether that's stocks. All that said, I do think UX wise, it's probably strictly better than the conventional traditional system. So there is a step improvement there. But I think it's way overhyped and people focus way too much time on it because you do have that trusted third party involved. And that's the key fundamental thing that Bitcoin solved, right? Is that you're able to have money that you can save without permission with no trusted third party involved because you have this native digital bearer.
Yeah. Completely agree. But going back to the CEO of Fireblocks, his name is escaping me. It was pretty cool to see him explain. The people in the audience were asking questions about, like, okay, like, how do we do the sort of interbank settlement with this technology? And he was like, you don't need to. Bitcoin, the ledger does it for you. Like, you, if you have your custody set up right and you're able to officially separate accounts for your clients using separate wallets with specific UTXOs, and you're accounting for that appropriately and you're sending between those, it is doing the settling for you. And so it was a signal to me. It's like wild times. We have people sitting in Federal Reserve buildings explaining how this stuff works to Federal Reserve board members and basically saying, like, this technology completely revamps the system of accounts that we have in the banking system right now. Like, the ledger does it for you. The files are in the computer, if you will. I think it was a sign of the times. It was very corporate and very suity, but it was like, whoa, we are actually making the case to the Federal Reserve that Bitcoin, the protocol, distributed ledger technology, for lack of a better term, is a step function improvement in the way that we settle money in the banking system today. And the Federal Reserve, it's officially noted in the notes of a meeting that was held that the tech is here and it's better. So that was cool to see. But as I said, a lot of focus on stable coins in real world assets. And I would piggyback when you said, I agree, it may be a step function improvement in the way that you issue an account for stocks, or the real estate shares still doesn't really make any sense to me, but stocks makes a lot of sense to me. But again, what is
the market of that?
I mean, look, I think the real estate shares also make sense, except for the fact that the underlying asset's a shitcoin. And maybe it makes more sense after like post hyper Bitcoinization when these things get repriced. And there's actually, you know, there's a proper market valuation on the, you know, the independent real estate that's being valued, because right now it's just completely overvalued, particularly in Bitcoin terms, but even in fiat terms. But when I say like the shares make sense is because like there are people that already do these schemes and it's very convoluted and difficult for the end user, right? But so like if you're going to say all else is equal, and I hate that I'm arguing the opposite side of this, but if you say all else is equal and you're buying 1/100th of a building pre-blockchain versus post-blockchain, it's like pre-blockchain, you're like signing a contract with someone, you have no secondary capability, you can't then sell it to someone else, you can't easily transfer it. It's net-net benefit. Like it's net-net I think a clear benefit to the end, quote-unquote, investor. Besides the fact that the actual underlying asset is completely overvalued. I would say just real quick here, I'm going to put my Bitcoin Policy Institute hat on for a second. We've gotten a lot of shit, you know, playing politics, blah, 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 you know, getting involved with the beast. The status quo, if Bitcoin Policy Institute doesn't exist, is that these meetings continue to happen that are just completely dominated by corporate shitcoiners. Just like, you know, massive companies that only care about crypto. And the reason Bitcoin Policy Institute exists in the first place is so that Bitcoiners that care about using Bitcoin as freedom money have a seat at the table for these types of events. I would say in BPI's situation right now, like it was a miss that we didn't have anyone at that meeting. But the fact that it was a near miss, I think, is a win in itself. And the assumption is that those types of meetings, we will have a Bitcoiner there that is actually advocating for people that care about Bitcoin as freedom money in America.
Yeah, I mean, the list, it was CEO from Fireblocks. You had Charles from Paxos there, Kyle Samani, the Chainlink guy.
Coinbase was there, right?
I think Coinbase was there. You had Lead Bank, which Lead Bank, for anybody who's not in the know, they've been an incredible partner for Bitcoin companies in the space for many years. One of the leaders on the banking side to actually stick their necks out and bank Bitcoin companies, even during the 2023 crisis when people were playing hot potato. And a bunch of other shitcoiners, basically going to the Federal Reserve and saying, here's what you guys need to do. And to your point, I think we need many more Bitcoiners in the room when these conversations are happening. Because like when it comes to things like escrow, and there are very fundamental low-hanging fruit sort of banking functionalities that could bring a lot of value, not only to Bitcoin, but to the banks themselves as it pertains to leveraging multi-sig and using Bitcoin as collateral for lending products. And that really wasn't covered in depth. It was all about tokenization and stuff that should not be a priority right now. We need to recollateralize the banking system with better collateral. And that should have been the focus. It wasn't. But luckily, we have the people at BPI working to change that. And on that note, big news out of BPI this week. Connor Brown, who was sort of the lead for Bitcoin and AI within Cynthia Lummis's office, senator from Wyoming, has stepped down from that position and joined BPI as the head of strategy. It's pretty big. Big get for BPI. Congrats to you guys.
Love to see it. I think wins all around.
Yeah, for those who don't know,
I think Connor. Yeah, go on.
I've known Connor for 8 years now. We met in 2017 when he was a young lad, a young pup in law school. And he's one of those lesser known but highly impactful individuals in the Bitcoin industry.
I mean, you want to talk like, okay, Kobe and Ledger were able to sell their podcast first season to Coinbase for $25 million. Like, okay, good for them. That's great. We haven't been able to, you know, sell RHR to that level. But Connor Brown grew up on RHR and then ended up leading Bitcoin strategy for a senator out of Wyoming, Senator Lummis, I think is a massive, like, you just, that alone, RHR is winning just on that front alone. So yes. Huge shout out to Connor. I'm very excited to have him at BPI. I think he's going to gradually then suddenly take a much larger role at BPI. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yes, I will be hopping on an Excel train down to DC to record with Connor for TFTC a week from Monday in the Rumble Studios. We're doing it in the Rumble Studios, so be on the lookout for that.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Connor's a good friend. I'm happy for him, happy for BPI. And maybe I think we'll be able to expand upon it when we sit down to record, but he's been doing some very big stuff behind the scenes for Bitcoin for many years. And excited that he's now moving into
it. I think he's going to be able to, he'll be able to speak more freely now too.
Yes.
So we'll be able to see Connor unleashed.
It's going to be a beautiful thing. A lot of work to do. And to that note, I've been talking to Connor behind the scenes, and I feel like he'd be comfortable with me relaying this, but I know this is a core initiative for BPI too, but if you're young, hungry, and suit like the Hill needs more Bitcoiners. The Hill needs more Bitcoiners.
If you're a young, hungry suit corner, we need you. Uncle Satoshi needs you.
Uncle Satoshi needs you. So, and Connor's been tweeting about this too. If you're out there and you're willing to live in the swamp and help advise on Bitcoin policy, you are desperately needed. So consider taking up the call.
You don't have to be young either. If you're an older freak, suit corner, it'd be great to have you.
A lot of these staffing positions are lower level. I think that's the problem we face right now. Is we do need young people because
this. Yeah, we need the interns.
It's a significant pay decrease if you're well established suit corner already. Maybe consider it your civic duty.
No, fuck that, but...
No, I'm kidding.
Your Satoshi duty.
Yes. Trying to look for things to talk about. It's been a pretty slow news week outside.
Well, let's talk about... Can we talk about how Shitcoin RHR sold for $25 million for a season? I sent Marty a tweet... So if you're not aware, Up Only is Crypto Cobain, Kobe's, and Ledger Status's show. They've had some prolific fucking episodes, to be fair.
I mean, the one with Sam Bankman-Fried and Suzu on the same episode, and Martin Shkreli.
And Martin's Martin was like, Shkreli was like, you're going to jail. You're going to hate it. They said they weren't going to do another season unless someone bought a $25 million NFT and Coinbase bought it. And there was this tweet that was like, imagine. So Ledger Status is like basically just turned into a dad poster on crypto Twitter. And he's like building a ranch with like he's got like a flock of children. And someone's like, imagine being Ledger's wife. And just like your co-host just got you $12.5 million for an 8-episode season. And I sent Marty the tweet. I was like, Marty, when are you going to do this for my wife?
Hey, I'm trying my best here. Now, the best part of that tweet was because his British co-host has infinite internet aura points.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there's more to the story, right? Like he has some kind of shitcoin investing company that Coinbase bought for $375 million. And part of that was the $25 million podcast sponsorship. Like he hooked up his co-host. He was a good co-host. So he gets a shout out for that. Like, he could have just kept the money himself, probably.
And Kobe, I mean, despite the fact that he's a shit corner, he is hilarious. And I've been following on X for more than 11 years. But
one of the better shit corners.
Yeah.
It was amazing that they avoided, like, it was kind of fucked up that they were like FTX front people.
Yes. They, like, kind no, of yeah. Avoided. Very fucked up.
There was no mea culpa or whatever on that. Like, there was never like a, I'm sorry, I fucked up.
No, to Kobe's sort of aura point. Like, he's evaded this his whole career. He was prolific early days back in like the 2014
yeah.
to 2017 era for.
Yeah, he's been around like forever.
Calling tops and bottoms. But yeah, what is it about RHR? How do you think who would we sell the show to for $25 million?
It doesn't exist. It's never going to happen. We're about $25 million short on being comparable to their acquisition.
It is there. I mean,
we get zaps. We get zaps. So we got that going for us.
We do. But what is it about this show, this format? Are we too boring? Like, remember last cycle when Up Only was very popular. It's like the shit they're talking about. I mean, it's like, you, to your point, like FTX, they're front men essentially. And that blew up and these people are able to maintain.
Dude, revenue. Personal responsibility is not sexy. It's not like telling people like you have to do like a long grind of like being conservative, raising a family and saving hard money is just like not, there's no mass appeal there. Like we exist for the ride or dies and that's fine. Like once again, to the Connor Brown point, like we have a super strong rabbit hole recap mafia. Like one of the coolest things about 1031, for instance, is a bunch of the companies we support, the founders grew up on rabbit hole recap. It's the coolest thing. I don't know if you saw Emilion posted some, one of the freaks said that we curse too much. And Emilion responded, and his daughter, who's working at Primal now, like has been listening to Rabbit Hole Recap since she was like 12. And he's like, she turned out fine. Like, that's crazy.
That is crazy. They're children that are adults now. They're adults that work.
That are running portfolio companies at 1031.
Yeah.
It's like, that's cool.
We're old. We're old, dude. We've been in this game for a while.
$25 million might be slightly cooler, but that's pretty cool.
That is cool. We're not in it for the money. We're not in it for the money. We're here for the tech.
Yeah, we're in it for both, but yes.
Yeah. Now, if anybody just wants to give us $25 million to split down the middle, we'll throw you some sats.
The funniest part is it's an 8-episode season. Like, we do 52 episodes a fucking year.
Hey. Let's not rain on people's success. Shout out to Kobe and Ledger, even though you've been from
they deserve
Bitcoin exchanges.
They deserve credit for it.
the ledger part of it is hilarious. He's just in the woods building a ranch.
Just along for the ride. Yeah.
Just wakes up one day. Yeah, honey, we're $12.5 million richer. Good for that family.
Yeah, I agree. I always like Ledger a lot.
Yeah.
He's a good one.
What do we have to look forward to this weekend in Lugano? You excited?
I don't know. I'm doing four panels.
When is your Shark Tank?
That's on Monday. I'm doing four panels in addition to that.
Are you excited for that?
Yeah, they did the first round yesterday, so I sat in for a little bit. There's some cool pitches there. I think it's cool that Tether's throwing a bunch of money as prizes, automatic prizes for the top winners on both the open source side and the for-profit side. And you know, I used to love Shark Tank. I definitely do not watch it anymore, but I used to love Shark Tank. So it's kind of cool. And they're doing it at their version of Bitcoin Park, the POW hub. They're like a full production suite. Like Giacomo is a legend among men. He's a fearless leader over there. I interviewed Francis for Civil Dispatch, and then right afterwards he was a judge on the first round. So like the idea is they have like capital allocators and they have one entrepreneur on the judge panel. So like it's kind of funny that Francis is on the judge panel, because not only is he not an investor, but also he bootstrapped his business and never took outside capital. But he was there as their advocate, basically. So that was fun. Vibes were high. People were excited about it. It's cool seeing young people excited about building on Bitcoin, just in general.
Are you allowed to talk about what pitches have been made yet, or is that for?
I think
a recording that I think will be released later.
I think I'm not supposed to. Everything is going to be exclusively posted to Rumble, is my understanding, including Plan B Forum's live stream. Yeah, not shocking. Tether invested $750 million into Rumble, so most expensive live stream of all time. But yes, it should be up with pretty good production quality, hopefully relatively soon, because I always think the stuff ages really poorly. So hopefully it gets released sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Just looking at the mempool. Want to check the mempool. One sat per V-byte across the board. Mempools are empty. Doesn't look like people are spamming right now.
I think they are. Marty, they're still spamming the chain. They're just spamming it quite cheaply.
Yes.
Is what's happening right now.
That is what's happening.
I will say that, freaks, I've been doing my part. I send a lot of on-chain transactions. So
I do as well. I've sent, I probably average at least 3 to 4 a week.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not sending at least 16 on-chain transactions a month, and you're part of the problem.
Yeah, you are.
You're like, I made the line for you, Marty.
It's looking at the, I'm just on mempool.space perusing. It's a great website to peruse if you're looking for data. 1.11 zeta hash per second.
Did you see they added their stale block feature, where if there's two blocks competing, it shows it on the homepage now?
Let me see.
Shout out them for that.
Where am I supposed to see this?
I mean, you'll only see it if there's two blocks competing. So it'll just shows it in the. I think if you go to Foundry and Antpool had a block that was competing. Block number. Let's see if I see it here while scrolling. Scroll, scroll, scroll. No, I can't find it. But they had a block that was competing that was two blocks next to each other.
I'm trying to look for this.
If you go to, let's see if I can find it. Block
920212. 920212.
I passed it. But scroll to it on the main page.
I'm way behind.
Scroll to it on the main page, 920212.
I'm in the process. I was down at like 919.
And you can see two blocks there, just back to back. It's pretty cool.
212.
I mean, I think it's intuitive how they display it. And just for the freaks that maybe are newer and don't know what a stale block is like sometimes you have at the chain tip, two miners find a block at the same time. And then there's basically a race on which block gets mined on top of with the next block. It's 920212.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it in my UI.
Okay, well, I see it right here.
Interesting.
You can click the stale block, which is kind of cool. Anyway, I think it's a simple, nice UX improvement. because it does happen a little bit more frequently than people realize. Technically not a fork. It only becomes a fork if, you know, both sides get mined on top of and continue in continuity. It happens more often than people think.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Part of the reason why we want, you know, very strong block propagation, where newly mined blocks get transferred through the network very quickly. Obviously, it sucks for a miner if they mine a block and then someone else gets the reward for it.
Yeah, it makes you feel like a loser too. It's like, I mined the block, but everybody else chose this guy's block and built on that. What about my block? It was perfectly valid. Why didn't you build on this one?
Just lost. Yeah, it's hard to not take it personally.
Yeah. I was going to say, though, looking at the mining section, 1.11 zeta hash per second over the last week. And I just think it's crazy since we've like passed a zeta hash, like 0.11, like we're adding an exahash, like almost immediately. Or that'd be 100 exahash.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things with Bitcoin that just like you're like sitting there laying in bed and just blows your mind. Like that one Bitcoin is worth 100 of your rings.
Yeah.
Which is like what the fuck?
And this ring is more than double the price.
We're doing it, guys.
It was.
Is that a Mene?
Yeah, it's Mene. So I can track it on the website.
Yeah, my wife's jewelry portfolio is up a ton.
Yeah.
Roy, if you're listening, it'd be great to price it in Bitcoin.
You don't need Roy to do it. You can download opportunity costs and do it right in the UI.
There. I know, but it should still, for all the users of Mene that don't have your extension, they should be able to just tab BTC as the denominator.
Yeah. We've got an upwards difficulty adjustment of 5% coming in a little over 900 blocks for 6 days. So,
by the way, I have a bug report for opportunity cost.
What is it?
Big numbers. It messes up with big numbers. I went to Forbes rich list.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Forbes real time rich list.
Why were you on Forbes rich list?
just aspiring. Trying to dream big. What do I have to have an excuse for that? Yeah, you see, it messes up the numbers.
I'm seeing Elon Musk is worth $487.5 billion, which is 4,449,414 Bitcoin.
Maybe is that correct?
It sounds right.
Yeah, that does sound right. No, yeah, it was wrong for me. It was way low.
Maybe I'm on Firefox, so maybe it's Chrome specific if you're using Chrome or Brave.
Yeah, it was on Chrome.
Yeah.
Anyway, bug report submitted. I've done my duty.
All right, thank you. I'll hit up Moses, let him know. We need to work on this. It is open source too. You can make a PR and try to fix it.
I just did.
Okay.
I like the the analog PRs are the best PRs. Or issues. It's not even a PR. PR would involve me doing code change.
Now you got me on Forbes rich list. We got Elon, Larry Ellison, Zuck, Bezos, Larry Page, Sergey Brin, Bernard Arnault and family, Steve Ballmer, Jensen Huang, and Warren Buffett.
I mean, it's pretty crazy seeing it in Bitcoin terms, right?
Yeah, if we aggregate all these together, 1.3, 1.4, it's 2.7, 1.4, that's 4.1, 1.7, that's 5.8, 1.7, that's 7.5, 1.9, 9.4, 2.1, 11.5, 2.3, 2.3, 13.7 or 8, excuse me, 3, 16.7, and then 4.4. That would be, yeah, 22.1 million VIF. 22.1 million is the aggregate wealth of 22.2 million. 22.1 million Bitcoin is the aggregate wealth of the top 10 billionaires in the world.
Definitionally overpriced, right?
Yeah. The 10 richest people in the world.
Literally can happen. Once we move to a Bitcoin standard, they all have to scramble.
Who on this list has Bitcoin? Zuck's mentioned it. Elon definitely.
Elon, has. Zuck.
I think Bezos has mentioned it. Like, I think everybody. I would
like what is like Elon. Yeah, go
Warren. On. Warren Buffett may be the only one in the top 10 that doesn't have Bitcoin.
And he's old. It's fine. Elon. What you said? His net worth is 4 million Bitcoin.
4.4. Yeah.
Million. Like he probably has what, like 100K Bitcoin. Like actually to his name.
Would not be shocked.
Yeah. So he's way underexposed to Bitcoin, regardless of how you cut it. Because there's no way he has anywhere near 1 million Bitcoin.
But Bitcoin was created by the CIA and the price is crashing, so it doesn't really matter. We're gold podcast like, now.
So is SpaceX. It tends to be bullish.
What was that?
I said SpaceX was also created by the CIA. It tends to be bullish.
Yeah.
Facebook was created by the CIA. All the most valuable things tend to be created by the CIA.
That is true. I can hear I can hear my children rustling outside the office door. We scheduled this early, not only to compete with Squawk Box, but I like my.
We can wrap. You want to read shout outs?
Oh, yeah. We got shout outs. I was going to say, I really enjoy driving my boys to school. And we have to get on the road here in about 15 minutes. I shouldn't be an absentee father in the morning, especially with a new child. Wow. Holy crap.
I agree.
Rabbit hole recap, 379. Stay humble, stack gold. Pringle Mac, 95,000 sats. Been MIA, busy being the change we want to see in the world, but still never miss a show. Prison Island time makes live rips a bitch. Keep back to basic principles alive. Stay humble or get wrecked. See you two freaks in person somewhere in 2026. Love, Sil and Tony. Sil and Tony, we love you.
Thanks, Sil and Tony. Appreciate Sil, you guys.
We need to catch up.
Ride or die.
Stimmy. Hashtag 40 hours per week of headphones on. 22,222 sats. Twos across the board. Palindrome boost. Shout out to Ben working in Senator Ben's office. Great to meet you this week. There are freaks in Bitcoin Bens everywhere. This is what winning looks like we said earlier.
The real love signal.
There's up only. Yeah, sure. They got bought for $25 million or one season. But did they have as much influence behind the scenes as Rabbit Hole Recap Mafia? I don't think so.
It's a good name too, Up Only. I mean, yes. Besides the fact that it's like pretty much gone, all their positions have gone down only. But good name.
Gert, 80 IQ, 21,000 sats. Hi, freaks. I'm appealing for your help. A catastrophic node failure has occurred, meaning I'm out of a lot of sats. Can I ask that if you have a channel to my node, which is Mickey Weir, MickeyWeir, can you please force close the channel so I might recover my funds? Oof. Help a fellow freak out from a bad situation. I appreciate karma and we'll put it back out into the world. Love you all. Dang.
Well, that's fucked up. Hope for the best there.
Yeah. Beware, freaks.
I've lost a lot of sats running Lightning nodes, freaks. If you don't want to deal with that, consider listening to the rip that I had with Francis on Civil Dispatch, your favorite podcast app.
Did you guys touch on this? Touch on AWS? Was it going on as you guys were?
Well, no, he just uses, Bull Wallet just uses Liquid at rest. It's like Moon, but with Liquid. Yeah. Spoiler.
Yeah.
And so instead of doing on-chain swaps where your fees get ridiculous, it just uses Liquid swaps which are like a regular liquid transaction is like 33 sats per transaction, super, super cheap.
I like the trade-off.
And then, of course, the trade-off is that you have to trust liquid, but he has an auto swap feature in the app. So once you hit 2 million sats, a million of the sats go to on-chain so that you reduce your exposure, which I like that idea. I like the idea of graduating people into stronger custody.
And that's my threshold for fat UTXO, million sat UTXO. That's a good one.
It's a good one. Yeah, I think you could probably push it, but a million solid. You could probably put, like, fee wise, you could probably push it to 100K sats, but I like a million sats.
No.
$1,000.
Now, $10,000, maybe by the end of next year. Who knows?
Dude, people are like fading $1 million Bitcoin right now. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Bullish as fuck.
I love that. I love that sentiment. People are really down on the coin right now. That's when I'm most bullish. I'm not going to tell you to smash buy, because historically telling people to smash buy on the show has led to
a precipitous
decline in the price. So
consider staying humble and stacking sats about it.
Yes. And we will end on that, because my boys are getting yelled at. And I think my
wife. Much love.
Peace and love, freaks. Ta-kee!